This is Hidden Killers Week in Review.
A look back at the most prolific stories of the week.
Murder in the Morning from the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Sometimes you hear stories of things masquerading as people. This would be one of those stories if you have a trigger to stories of child abuse. This would be one you probably don't want to listen to. Pennsylvania couple arrested for allegedly subjecting their six-year-old daughter to horrific abuse. Pennsylvania authorities arrested the couple in Brownsville, Pennsylvania, following disturbing allegations of the abuse. Jacob William White, or Waite, 37,
Waite, looks like.
37, and Mimi Ann Frost, 33, taken into custody on February 6th in Pennsylvania by Pennsylvania State Police. At their residence on January 7th, regarding reports of an unresponsive child, the subsequent investigation uncovered the horrifying details of abuse and neglect allegedly inflicted upon their six-year-old daughter. Upon entering the home, responding officers were met with scenes of squalor, dog feces, trash, and urine strewn throughout the residence. It was within this environment the couple's six-year-old daughter was allegedly subjected to unspeakable treatment. Did people like watch Hoarders and go, this is a goal? Like, I'm going for this. Like, this is a lifestyle I want to choose. And everybody else looks at this as very alternative. But to me, it's a good thing. I mean, with the animals and the number one, how the fuck do you survive in that environment? Because Stacey, correct me if I'm wrong, but isn't inhaling that shit like really supposedly bad for your health?
Yes, it is.
Then how do people live in those environments for years?
I don't know. I wonder if the body finds a way to acclimate to it. Whereas like if you and I or some of our listeners walked in, we'd be like, oh, I can't stay here. But again, it's, we use this a lot. This frog boiling, you know, slowly boiling. You just, it, honestly, I walked in the house yesterday and I smelled the litter boxes, and I normally don't. And it caught my attention. I went, I need to go deal with that. Well, I think these people, they don't have that response of, ooh, this isn't good. I need to fix it. It just keeps going and happening, and it gets worse and worse. And they just kind of go, you know, there's some mental illness there, I think, of course, if you can do this.
Yeah.
But what's concerning me, how many other cases in our country or anywhere else for that matter are like this? We've got one 7 miles from where I'm sitting right now that was discovered back in October. And I'm going to be following that case as best as I can. I'm going to actually go to the courthouse when the parents appear. But it was a 15-year-old girl who was like 50 pounds. They basically just starved her and she almost died. There's the Ferreter case down in Florida where the one kid, just one kid, was kept in a cage. So it's very, I feel like this is happening. It's out there.
Well, what is clicking in someone's mind to go, this seems like a good idea. Let's confine the child to a dog cage, zip tie them, and then physically assault them with a broom on occasions. These are accounts of actually what happened to this child. Fayette County District Attorney Mike Obele described the child's ordeal as torture, revealing that she showed signs of malnourishment and suffered abrasions and open sores on her body. According to a criminal complaint reviewed by the Herald Standard, the child did not receive pediatric care in 3 years, despite displaying a range of medical and dental issues. The complaint further detailed chilling revelations from the child herself, who reportedly disclosed to a therapist that she'd been forced to sleep in the dog cage every night and consume dog food. Additionally, Waite allegedly subjected her to further abuse by shooting her legs with a BB gun. One of the worst parts of this is that there were 5 other children in the house and 10 dogs, and none of them were malnourished.
So they had the capability to feed, you know, and they were, instead of maybe, hey, we don't have money, we, you know, everybody's starving. No, it's just the one.
Waite and Frost now face a litany of charges, including assault on a minor, corruption of minors, involuntary servitude, strangulation, false imprisonment, child endangerment. Despite the gravity of the accusations, Waite vehemently maintained his innocence as he was escorted in handcuffs, while Frost opted not to make any comments. Currently held without bail at the Fayette County Prison, Waite and Frost await further legal proceedings as the community grapples with the harrowing details of the alleged abuse inflicted upon their this young daughter. My God. Slow boil, I guess, and these kids, their kids, I guess if this is, you know, it's just scary to see, you know, what people will tolerate and end up finding to be normal in their environments when they know no different. And those other kids, I'm sure, knew no different. They're thinking, this is how it goes. This must be love. This must be how, you know, or not even love, but this is how it is when you're, you know, until you get old enough to realize it's not. I wonder what the age of the other children were, but you have, so there's six kids total, the two parents. So that's eight people and 10 dogs in this house.
A lot of living creatures.
And no CPS or anything getting involved until things get really, really bad. How? And there's so many homes. You drive by, you walk by, you see whatever, and you go, I can just picture some of these, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, what if somebody walked in there, what they would find?
Yeah. I was walking around my neighborhood yesterday. There was a house that, you know, there's stuff in the front yard. There's like chairs that should have been thrown away during, you know, when they come by and pick up junk in the spring.
In 98.
They're still sitting there. Yeah. You know, there's garbage bags. There's Amazon boxes stacked up in the front window. So you're like, I know there was some shit going on in that house, but I'm hoping it's not, you know, animals and kids. I don't know. You walk by and you go, I just wonder what's going on in there. And I wonder how many people walk by this house and thought, things aren't right there, but nobody wanted to get involved. I don't know.
And what, I mean, and the thing is, the bar is so low half the time. Who was I talking to? Siobhan. It was Siobhan Scott the other day. And she was recalling how when she worked for one of the child protection agencies in the 90s, where she was, that one of the things that she had been told once, I believe it was her or was a coworker, it was a pretty direct story, that, okay, there's needles all over this home, like on the floor, like they got it, like these kids shouldn't be in this home, in this environment. And the way that it was being handled by that area's child protective services or department of, you know, whatever it is in that area, the response is, well, make sure they get the needles cleaned up and then they can have the kids back.
Wait, whoa.
Yeah, it's not like, let's keep the kids away and out of this environment because obviously mom and dad are addicts and have no regard for themselves or anyone else. It's, well, you know, let's swiffer up the needles and send the kids back because we have this idea in our country based on a really fucked up 1970-something study that the best thing for children, bar none, is being with their biological parents, which is utter fucking bullshit. If they're good, healthy people, yes, ideally that would be the best case scenario. If they're addicts, if they continually have these sort of problems, if they continue to demonstrate a pattern of very unresponsible, dangerous behavior over and over and over, no, that's not the best environment for those kids. I don't give a shit whose sperm or egg it came from.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. But somehow, that's how our system operates. That's how our court system still operates. It's always about family reunification. And in so many cases, that family reunification ends up putting a child back into an abusive situation where they either end up getting so fucked up, they just repeat the pattern again, or they die.
Not a good outcome. It's
Hugh Brooks and Dunn,
please. People can thrive in other environments. You don't have to be with your genetic family.
Well, exactly. But that's how we handle things here still. And why we do this, I don't know. I do not know. Apparently, it's very, very hard to reset legislation or reset ways of the court's thinking to, I don't know, updated thoughts. I mean, we're talking from the 70s here. So that to me is like, I guess we still do leechings for some things, but not for like, you got a cold, let's do the leeching. Let's get the evil spirits out of you. That to me is really, you know, kind of the equivalent here. If it's such an old way of thinking, it's a disproved way of dealing with something. why are we still doing this? Why are we still legislating things this way? Why are we still ordering people to do certain things ways that we know are not the most opportune or healthy at all?
Yeah.
I don't know. Ugh. All right. Brooks and Dunn, everybody. Only in America.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.